What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. It's Marty Biron birthday week, and said individual has decided to start the week in fine style by not appearing on today's show. We're hearing that he's been sweating it out at the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament since about 9 a.m. and is determined to win. Friend of the show, Joe Yerden, welcome in. It is great to see you. I think between the two of us, we would probably pass on golf in this heat, wouldn't we?
I'm saying no. Yeah. I sweat just sitting here. So being baking out in the sun when it's 90 degrees. I mean, listen, you get a couple of cold pops in you when you're on the course. Mm-hmm. Everything feels a lot better. That's for sure.
You are maybe a little under duress just with the time of season and getting ready for the upcoming season, heavy into the writing mode, which times out perfectly for us. Now, we do have to put out the disclaimer that we have been going alphabetically team of the day, and we ended last week on the Florida Panthers. So Marty owns like the rights to first dibs on team of the day discussion. So we can't go anything beyond F. At this point, if you would like to add your commentary on anything that has preceded the Florida Panthers alphabetically, we would be all ears for this kind of commentary. But Marty will lose his mind if he feels that we have advanced the process without him.
So you're saying I can't just jump right into the LA Kings and
oh, it's so close. It's so close.
Am I forgetting somebody? Yeah.
But we did spend an inordinate amount of time around free agency on Cody Ceci already. So we probably don't need to go too far down the Kings path yet. But before we do dive into anything sabery, and there's a lot from your standpoint to preview, reflect upon. And I almost, you know, like not to get too philosophical about it all, but I'm appreciative of you bringing a different voice today. And Marty and I obviously, you know, spend so much time talking about what went right, what went wrong, where they're at and moving. I do want like a little, you know, of your personal perspective on how this journey has gone for the Sabres and maybe how close they are to finally breaking through this year. But because we teased, like, is there anything NHL wise that has really like kind of grabbed you this offseason, or has it felt quiet-ish? In your opinion,
it's been a little quiet because I think everybody gets all their business done before, you know, July 1st happens. You know, if you've got loose ends to tie up, if you've got guys you want to get taken care of, you take care of that business before the floodgates open up on the 1st, or you take care of it at the draft, like that whole, mm-hmm. you know, week or so before the 1st hits. Most teams are probably busier than they've been in months trying to handle their business because nothing motivates like a deadline. I can, you know, I think we can all confirm that, but it's the kind of thing where, you know, I look back on it and I've got a piece coming for Bleacher Report this week on, you know, the ranking the 10 worst free agent signings. So that's a little tease for the future, but that's, you know, when you look back on it, it's the big swings, the big misses just really aren't there these days. You know, I think that's, I think we think back on a few different free agent classes where teams took those big swings and there were more misses than there were hits. And, you know, it's copycat league. So teams are just like, boy, I don't want to end up on any of these lists. So let's not do that again. We got burned once, twice, three times, four times, however many times. I don't want to do this again. Let's stay out of it. Let some other teams have their day in the sun where maybe they hit, maybe they don't. But right now, you know, you look back on it. I mean, I know it's been over a month since free agency essentially ended, but it's been so quiet because even teams that we thought were going to be swinging trades and making big deals and all that, that stuff hasn't happened. And I don't know that it will, even once training camp creeps around and even starts.
Do you think that, and it's funny because there are many who've spent years, if not a life in the game and have often felt that July 1st, you know, can be a potential death knell. Teams get too excited, spend too much, and then they'll express remorse a year or more later on what they did on said July 1st. But do you think because of a limited field this year in free agency, it may have actually limited some mistakes despite it happening at a time when the cap was going up for some exploding? And is it almost underwhelming that it's like, hey, the cap's going up, and then it's like nobody's got anything to spend on?
which is kind of funny when you think about it, because the cap went up a lot this summer, and it's going up even more next summer, and even more the summer after. We're talking about a cap explosion that this league hasn't seen since we came out of the lockout, really.
Yeah.
And
that's the 04-05 one you're speaking of. Yes.
I think 04-05. Yeah. Yeah. Once the cap was established. Yeah. So 04-05. Right.
That's the one. Yep.
And, you know, they set that hard cap and everybody's like, boy, that's not a lot of money. And then 3 years later, it was like, boy, the cap max was now the floor because, you know, the money came flowing in. Weird how that works. But I think you avoided a lot of that this time around because even the teams that are the usual teams that don't care about spending, you know, the Vegases and all that, like Vegas, they got Marner, so they're good. But some of those other teams at the top, they had already spent against their future selves and were very fortunate the cap went up as much as it did because then it's like, oh, well, we would have been in the mix for XYZ player. But we've already spent our money on retaining our own guys, or we've already, you know, added some other people in trades or whatever. And that kind of limited that damage. That's not to say that there weren't some bad signings. There certainly were, or ones that were sitting back going like, I don't know if that was a prudent idea, but we're kind of kept out of that whole big fire of everybody being like, "Well, what is everybody thinking?" Because there wasn't like that big explosion of just massive amounts of money going around. Because I think even after, you know, like we're talking about since 04-05, 20 years, some teams have learned, whether it's the owners or the GMs, they've seen enough happen where they're like, "Hey, let's maybe not go diving in head first."
Do you think, though, like, as an example, and again, probably alphabetically, because we started with Anaheim, but they had so much to spend. And there's only so much they could do. There's Boston, who missed the playoffs, but, you know, were they realistically going to be able to change the look of their well, I don't think they changed the look of their team, but they went down the path of old habits and past identities to reinforce blue collar Bruinism, you know? So you know, obviously we just handled Florida and Edmonton on back-to-back days. I actually said, Joe, that I still think the Oilers could win the cup with Stuart Skinner because I will never underestimate, especially McDavid and Draisaitl, but having Bouchard because he just seems so critical, especially in the playoffs. I would just never want to bet against, almost like I would never want to bet against Sid, which maybe sounds a little ridiculous now based on where Pittsburgh's at, but Sid's done his damage and he's still only second to Gretzky in, you know, point of game seasons. So I don't know. Like I just, I, I wonder what you, you know, kind of how you view some of these teams, where they're at, and, you know, whether we're going to see much more in the way of change before the season rolls around.
What's the thing, like a team like Edmonton, like they're at where they're at now. Like they're at a place where they can win the cup. You know, they came really close 2 years ago. They weren't as close this past year.
But close.
Yeah, as close as you can be without actually lifting it at the end. But to me, that kind of just showed the flaws with other teams in the West, or how the playoff roads open up for some of the other teams in the West. I think of Dallas in specifics, because 3 years in a row they've bitten it in the Western Final, and they've had like a murder highway trying to get even to the Western Final, and they're out of gas by the time you see them. But Edmonton is in a spot where they don't have to reimagine the wheel. I mean, yeah, they got to get a contract done with Connor, which I know all of us in the content business don't want to see happen, because we want to have a whole big juicy year long life cycle of where's he going? Who's right. going to get, you know, are they going to trade him? All that stuff. It's probably not even like, it's not even going to get cooked out of the stage before we're even in camp. Like day one of camp, that contract's probably getting signed, just like maybe somebody with Buffalo, but like, that stuff's going to be taken care of. You don't have to worry about it, though. Like, you've got Draisaitl, you've got Connor. You're cooking up front. You're fine. They're going to have Hyman back healthy. Bouchard's incredible. Ekholm's outstanding. As long as your goaltending isn't well below subpar, you're fine. And I think that's the one area, and it's been a problem for Edmonton for a long time, is goaltending. And it's a sensitive issue. And it's one where they're like, okay, we've got our guy, let's go. Especially the early part of Connor's, you know, playing cycle here.
Right.
They didn't have a guy, but now they've got a guy, maybe. And that's good enough, because they're going to be in the playoffs. And if, as long as that goalie is, whoever it is, whether it's Skinner, who, you know, Pickard, whoever, as long as that guy's okay for the first round or two, they can roll from there. And they don't have to mess around with it too much. That's why it's better for a team like that to stay out of the muck.
I agree. I do you, among your peers, like, is there a lot of conversation about the McDavid extension? And does anyone? You're chuckling. I love this.
Yeah. What kind of discussion are we talking here? Because
I don't know. That's what I'm curious about.
We've been, I know on our side over at Bleacher Report, we've been keeping an eye on how, you know, the slightest ripples in the water of just how things are going, where it's headed, you know, is there a possibility that he leaves? I know Edmonton losing in the finals 2 years in a row might get us going like, yeah, all right, here we go. He's going to get sick of this. But he's getting sick of it at a level where it's like, he's in the final already. Like, right. Win one more game a year ago, win three more games this year, and he's lifting the cup and the statue is already being built. This isn't like how it was his first few years making the playoffs, where it's they're losing in the first round. Oh, they made it to the second round. Oh, they got their, you know, they got embarrassed in the second round, whatever. They're not doing Leaf stuff. So like, it's a much better situation for Connor, unless like Gretzky, he's too big for the city and he can't have a moment's peace. He can't get any, you know, can't go anywhere without being mobbed. The whole thing where, you know, if he meets a supermodel in LA, he's gonna go for a big city, and he's gonna get traded and the owner's bankrupt. But that stuff doesn't happen these days anymore. And, you know, I think in the front of our minds, we're all like, well, he's probably staying. But in the back of our minds, we're like, okay, how many things can we crank out before that ink is put to paper and he's staying for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever.
Hockey writer Joe Yerden is with us here on Sabres Live today. Marty's back tomorrow. Into the Sabres. Here we are, August 11th. What have you been thinking about the most as it pertains to this team?
Man, there's a lot of bases to cover there. Because there's a lot to chew on with the Sabres. Because it's, you know, it's the playoff drought. It's, you know, you compare to how they played last season, first half to second half, and you say, boy, if they played the first half like they played the second half, they're right in the playoff race. Maybe they're in it. Who knows? And I think everybody's just kind of fiending for little things to kind of hit on right now. And I think Alex Tuck's extension, everybody's like, well, if he doesn't extend, blow it up. You know, if the guy who's the fan and he's local and he doesn't want to stay, then you gotta, I mean, come on, let's get real here. You know, Alex, you know,
can you come on weekly for an impersonation segment, please?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I've missed this. This is very reminiscent of a lot of mornings before the morning skate when we catch up for a quick chat. I love it.
But like the whole thing with Alex is like didn't he and his wife just have like their second kid this summer or is on the way or something like that? And everybody's like, why isn't he signed? Why didn't he sign 12/01 July 1st? Like, he's busy, man. Like, he's got things to take care of. He's got family. He's got all this stuff going on. And it's technically the deadline's not for a year. So again, like we said, like nothing motivates like a deadline, but I think the deadline in this case is whatever the first day of media availability is in training camp, because no one, Alex, Kevin, nobody wants to be answering questions like, well, where's the deal? Where's the contract? Nobody wants to be talking about this stuff day one. I can guarantee you Alex doesn't. I know Kevin handles it really well, but he doesn't want to be talking about that either. He wants to be talking about, hey, start of the season. Let's go. Like, we're ready. We're ready to make the playoffs. So that's kind of at the front of our mind because it's the one thing left. You know, they got all the RFAs done. You know, everybody's re-signed. Everybody's taken care of. The roster's basically set. Everything's square. So, like, that's the one thing that's left to check down before you get into the big picture Sabre stuff. Like, you know, how do they compete in the division? How do they compete the East? Can they make the play? Before you even get into any of that stuff, Alex is like the thing that's right up front where you're like, okay, what's that deal look like? And that to me is an interesting discussion because, you know, he's going to be 30 by the time it starts. That's technically where things start getting a little bit fishy for player performance is age 30, because, you know, that's technically, I guess not technically, but I guess that's kind of where the hill is for a lot of players, because you get on the backside of 30, it's either a gradual comeback down the hill or it's a steep drop off. And I think that's a reason to be, I don't know if concern's the right word, but that's a reason to have that at the front of your mind when it comes to Alex's next deal, because, you know, and this is something I've been writing up for my own site for at Noted Hockey for a while now that I haven't posted yet, but everybody's got that Huberdeau extension at the front of their mind because it was a 50% drop off from one year to the next, and that was before the extension even kicked in. So a lot of people are going to be thinking like, well, geez, what if that happens? Because it's Buffalo and fans are going to think the worst immediately. Like, well, what if Alex goes from 32 goals to 16? What do we do then? Well, I don't think that's happening. I think Alex is going to be right in the mix for Team USA for the Olympics, because how can he not be? He's too good. He's too good, and he's played so well. And the two-way effectiveness, the goal scoring, he's a big guy in front of and around the net. He can shoot it. All the stuff that we know, that we're very familiar with, are reasons why you got to pay the guy. And, you know, you can't let him walk, but like getting that contract right is going to be really interesting, because Alex, you know, I talked to him when we were talking about Bo Byram, you know, mm-hmm. During the season when it came to, you know, what's it like to negotiate your next contract? And for Alex, in his case with Vegas, when he signed his extension there, they basically said, hey, you want to sign a deal? And he's like, yeah, of course I do. Let's go. Like, he's a young guy. You're going to give him way more money than he's ever seen. Done deal. And I know from talking to him and looking back on that, he's like, you know, there's a lot more things to consider now. You know, I got a family. I got, you know, future to think about. All these other things where, you know, me, you know, however old he was when he signed that, 23 or whatever, and him now is like, you know, a lifetime of different things to consider. So now it's, you know, and there's a lot more money around and there's all this kind of stuff. So it's a much different conversation than he had before. And it's going to be interesting, but man, I have such a hard time believing that this isn't going to be done before camp starts.
Mm-hmm. Do you really think it becomes an issue if it's not done right at the start? Like, because again, he is under contract for the coming year. So I'm always curious, like, does it really, like, sure, it's fodder for discussion for others, but based on how you've interacted with Alex and others that would specifically represent the core of this current group, do you think it would affect them to not see Alex with an extension when this all starts?
I don't think so, because as far as the rest of the group, like, those guys all, they all talk way more to each other than when they're around us. They're smart enough to not have open, frank discussions when we're in the room. But like, they understand, like, I think there's that understanding, like, it's business, so it's whatever. And it's a distraction media wise, I think, for maybe the first month of the regular season, not training camp. Training camp, all the stuff with us gets sorted out within like the first week. And then it's like, okay, well, these guys are back, so are we. So like, that's that. When you start traveling around and you start getting around the league, especially I'm looking at that late October back to back and, you know, home and home with Toronto, where that becomes, if it's not done by then it's a big pressure point at that point, just because of the attention it'll produce and the rumor mongering that'll start up, especially if it's a slow start out of the gate, God help us all. But it's the kind of thing where I think once, if it's not done before camp and you're still, we're into the regular season, I think it's put away and it's put in the backseat and it's not talked about until, and if it's not done by until like January or something like that, then you bring it back up. Because then it's like, all right, you staying or going? Because then you're talking about, well, if he's not signed, then you got to figure out if he is signing or you're trading him, because you can't let him walk. And so like, those are your kind of pressure point inflectives for me, as far as it goes, because I think Alex is a guy that can just say, no, I don't want to talk about it. Like, okay, right. Done. Like that. Like, you're not going to pressure Alex to talk about anything he doesn't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. Certain markets, i.e. Montreal and Toronto, early in the season when he does go to, those would become, on those days, bigger talking points for sure. Joe Yerden's with us, noted hockey, Bleacher Report, many other outlets, especially as we ramp up for another season here. Marty's back tomorrow. Shayna Goldman's with us at the bottom of the hour. Joe, when you think back to how the regular season ended for the Sabres, did you imagine that J.J. Paterka would not be a part of the group to start this upcoming season? And what do you make of the offseason changes, and how much, in your mind, has it moved any, you know, needle as far as the playoffs are concerned?
I think when it came to J.J., because J.J. was always a really kind of tough guy to read. Chit chat wise, usually you can get a decent feel. I can't say you're going to know a guy inside out and backwards and forwards by, you know, having small talk with guys in the room or whatever. But JJ was a guy who is a little tricky to try to, you know, figure out like where he's coming from, how he's going, all that stuff. And I can think back to like his early time with the team where he was just like super outgoing, affable, just kind of like a goofy kid. And then from one year to the next, they went from being super goofy, fun-loving to like serious as a heart attack, serious about everything. And you're like, whoa, what happened to this guy? Like, what, like, who talked to him? Who, like, how did this happen? But when it came to like figuring out this off season, I think there was an idea that maybe there would be a push point there, just because, not necessarily the money side of it, but just how this was going to work out, you know, with Lindy in charge and the way the team's going and the way everything was just kind of like setting up. It's like, who isn't, like, what guys really struggled to like kind of fit in and how things went? And JJ was not exactly at the top of the list, although, you know, I sit with Matthew Fairburn in the press box, and every game we're just kind of, you know, letting things buzz off our heads and talking. And JJ was a guy that I think he and I were always like, do you keep him or not? Like, what do you do here? And I think we were having that conversation up until like the last game of the season. And to me, that looking back on it, that should have been like a, I don't know if they go long term with him. And because you're thinking like, well, I don't know, maybe they bridge him and then you figure it out. You give by yourself a couple of years and figure it out. But obviously that was not going to happen. And that trade happening, not a huge surprise. Like, it's surprising just because he's, you know, he's on that upward trajectory stat wise. But that he got traded, I don't think is that stunning. I think when you look at the return, when it's Josh Doan and Michael Kesselring, you're just kind of like, that's an odd thing. But I'm like, well, how many Utah games are you watching? You know, analysts, how many times have you watched Michael Kesselring light up the Sabres? How many times have you seen Josh Doan buzz around the ice? You know, like, it's one of those kinds of things where you're just kind of like, I don't think you're watching these guys that closely. So like, I see Kesselring come back and I'm like, yeah, I get it. Yep. Right hand shot, big guy, crushes the puck, does all these things. Perfect. That's a great ad. It's just that when you see JJ's name next to it, you're just kind of like, maybe should have got more. Because my reaction to it at first was, maybe should get a pick out of that too. But, I mean, you know, listen, Bill Armstrong is a darn good GM for a reason. And he made it known, like, hey, Doan's not a guy I'm eager to give up here. I really don't want to do that. And I get it, because Doan checks every box for personality and play style that Bill Armstrong loves. And I have a lot of respect for Bill Armstrong. I think he's a great GM. He's smart. He's had to deal with a lot of junk in Arizona, and now he gets to kind of, you know, be himself with Utah. But like, that's, you know, you solved a huge need in Buffalo.
Yep.
By getting Kesselring, you get another guy for the middle bottom six and Doan that is going to be an instant fan favorite. Fans are going to absolutely love the way he'll skate through the wall to make plays. Like, he's a lot of fun. He's a great kid too. Like, just an awesome kid. And you know, you lose JJ, and yeah, it's tough. He was fun. He's exciting. But you know, I think the flip side of that is not so much that deal and JJ going, it's just, where do the goals come from now? You know,
right.
So how does that point change with the rest of the group?
So final half minute here, will they make the playoffs? And if so, how?
I think the way they played in the second half is more indicative of the way they're going to play full out. And that's even considering, like, Lukanen didn't play that great. I think he's going to be much better this year. Nothing motivates for him like people doubting him. And he plays a lot better, a lot more focused with that. Or, you know, especially when he's going to have some guys pushing him in camp with Lyon and Levi. But I think they're going to be a lot better. The problem I see, though, is that the division is horribly nasty. Yep. It's the hardest division in hockey. And, you know, you're playing most of your games against everybody in the division, and there's not an easy game out of the bunch. Even you might think, well, Boston's down. Well, they were last year. Mm-hmm. Are they going to, like, is Swayman going to be, you know, terrible again?
No.
I wouldn't bet on that. Like, you know, are they going to be way down again? I don't know. I'm not buying that, man. If they make the playoffs, it's good because they're going to thump up on teams in the Metro, and they're going to, like, the top three of the Metro will make the playoffs, and then everybody else is going to have to take a walk because the Atlantic's going to have to take both wild cards for them to have a shot at doing it. I think asking them to get top four is tough, mm-hmm. just because Florida and Tampa Bay are so good. That's with me not knowing how Ottawa and Montreal are going to respond after a year of success either.
Exactly. Joe, amazing. Thank you today. And we will definitely be reconnecting. But a month from now, I would hope, when we are on the cusp of Sabres Fan Fest, Prospects Challenge, and the preseason beginning. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Duffer. Appreciate the time.
Joe Yerden from Noted Hockey, Bleacher Report, and more. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic as we continue Sabres Live after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We reminded everyone off the top of the show today that it's Marty Biron birthday week. towards the end. It feels like my birthday because I'm getting the best of like our best friends here on the show. Joe Yerden, first half hour, Shayna Goldman today. Shayna, how has your summer been unfolding since last we spoke?
It's been good. I'm a simple girly. I just want to sit in the sand and read a book. And I've gotten to do that a bunch and eat a bunch of good food. So I'm in my element. I'm like not ready for hockey to come back. I'm glad we still have time.
Little East Coast living.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to be biased forever. It's like the, you know, like the lake versus ocean debate. Like that one to me is an interesting one because like I'm an ocean girl forever. And I know some people will swear by lakes. And I'm just like, I feel like that's not it.
Well, I was only going to fight you on West Coast, East Coast, but maybe we can save that for another time. You're going to plant that flag. Firmly.
Oh yeah, we're gonna spend end of summer. It's everyone's gonna be like, let's talk about the team. And it's like, no, we're spending 15 minutes debating this.
Marty is this is somewhat disappointing that we haven't got a scoring update from him. Like maybe he is so locked in at the Jim Kelly tournament that you know, he's not looking at the leaderboard because he knows his group is well ahead at this point. Here's hoping that Tommy Fleetwood is not nearby and perhaps wrecking his end of the round. Boy, there are very few golfers who've experienced the heartache of Fleetwood so far this year. But Marty's determined to win. He has gotten the golf bug back lately. Oh, and it's actually quite fascinating to watch someone so happy-go-lucky is probably the wrong, not the most accurate phrase, but it kind of represents Marty, right? Like he's just so easy to get along with. You don't always see like the competitive side push through. Well, we've been starting to feel it lately. So he's like in tournament window time here for the next 3 weeks. So I'm curious to see what happens with him.
We need the intensity. We need him to bring like that tension too, right? Like that like athletic tension that especially goalies have. Like I need to see that in full force because I haven't, but I feel like golf is on the rise right now. I feel like golf is very trendy and people are loving it. It's not really like my style, but like I need to see how he's locked in for golf. He should be live streaming this for us. He should be like he should be making a vlog. Like what are we doing here? We should have sent him with the camera.
Well, he always has one in hand because he's never not communicating with someone. Producer Jeff, perhaps maybe we'll sneak something in as far as an update from Marty before the end of the show. Obviously, the Jim Kelly tournament is big in these parts for obvious reasons and hoping that it's a great day out there. Is there anything new NHL-wise for you, Shayna? I mean, we're still sitting there staring at the same RFAs that haven't been signed. Whoever came up with Summer of Trades was seemingly wrong, although, you know, we are still in that anniversary window of when the great one got traded back in the late 80s. So anything can happen. But like, what are you feeling on all of this right now?
It's honestly like one of the slowest and most boring off seasons ever. And it's like, I had a vision for this off season when like the draft's announced is decentralized. Everyone goes to the combine. It's like, you know, this could be this buzzy moment where everybody goes and you get the talking and the conversations going early, right? That by the time the draft rolls around, you have all these trades, you have these ideas. Everybody's communicating a little bit differently. You can talk privately without worrying about everybody seeing you walk around the draft tables. And had all of this potential and everybody's hyping it up because there's more money to spend. And I feel like everyone almost panicked. Like they don't know how to spend their money. And they're going, well, we don't want to spend this summer. It's coming out next summer. So now we're going to hype up next summer for a year, except every big name free agent's going to be gone by that time. So I'm hoping everybody learns from this experience and recognizes, yes, we all love our time off. But like, if it's so exciting, we have so many fireworks in the first couple weeks, then we can just enjoy our time off. Like we'll be like living off the high of the off season, like learn from this and do better because this is not it.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at Bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You muted.
If some of these potential UFAs don't make it to market, do you think that we could have, even with an even higher salary cap next year, could we duplicate this feeling of the last 4 to 5 weeks? Like, could we see potentially even more teams with a lot of unused cap space, or is that unrealistic?
I think that teams are going to use their cap space more because the teams that didn't this year, too, a lot of them are like those bad teams, right? The Blackhawks are a team that you expect them to buy up those contracts. They haven't done it. The Ducks didn't do it a ton. You know, I think even the Sharks were a little more reserved than what they could have done. And in the end, mm-hmm. they ended up getting guys like Letty and Orlov and things like that. Yeah. But I wonder if it'll be any different next year, because then it's like, are you going to keep waiting or are you just going to like do something? And I think we're seeing teams kind of learn how to navigate this world. Like, the threat of offer sheets seemed greater after the Blues had so much success, right? Mm-hmm. So we all went into the offer at the offseason expecting to see an offer sheet, especially knowing the UFA class wasn't that great. And we saw a lot of restricted free agents get dealt with sooner than later, right? I don't think they're ever prioritized teams like wait to see what their cap space looks like. And I wonder if that's going to be a lesson for next year, too. Like, if you don't want to stress about an offer sheet or maybe potentially have the market change for your RFAs, that the price goes up because it should right now, right? The cap's rising, players are getting better, it's a younger league and everything and more. You know, our team's going to keep working early to avoid any of those complications. So then now it's a dry field of RFAs, it's a dry field of UFAs. But I have to think right. Next year you can't say, okay, we're going to reserve our cap space for next year, it's going up, because you should learn from your mistakes and go, okay, this is like a cyclical thing. Every year it's going to go up. You're going to be in the same situation. But I do wonder if it changes how they approach maybe their own stars, right? Like, could this be the turning point for teams to start actually paying their own stars, because you're not expecting anybody to make it this far? And then you can team build a little bit differently the way I would say that you should.
Mm-hmm. I think that's more likely. And that could, of course, create the same a similar scenario next year as far as lack of depth in UFAs. It will, of course, if you start even, you know, if you start rewarding your own now, not that they haven't been, that's obviously ridiculous to suggest that. But if that does eat into the cap space and retaining your own is the norm, I do wonder where unrestricted free agency ultimately heads and how often. And I guess that leads to, like, there's going to be one or two or three, like, big winners every year. Like this year, obviously, even though it wasn't astronomical, I mean, I think we could all agree that Mikael Granlund was a winner in free agency.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many outrageous moments lie ahead here for the likelihood of a $15 to $20 million player signing as a UFA.
That's the problem, right? Because Connor McDavid, the best player in the world, mm-hmm. right? There's no conversation. He's the best player in the world right now. He is going to sign a new extension. And I would imagine it happens sooner than later. Like, you think Leon Draisaitl happened, I think it was early September, a year earlier than his contract went up. So will it be the same with McDavid here? He's not going to take 50. He might take 15. He's not going to take 20. And it, like, it sets the bar back for all of these star players. We're hearing numbers from Mikko Rantanen last year going, could he make 14? Could he make 15? No, it's 12. Oh, and Mitch Marner is going to take the same 12. Because if he takes 14, he's selfish because Rantanen didn't. And it's like, these numbers keep getting depressed for the superstar players. So then when we see the $8 million second pair defenseman or like the Ivan Provorov contract, we're like, well, that's such an overpayment, especially because the star players are so high. But it's like, yes, well, people have to spend somewhere, right? And it's like it needs a full-on recalibration. If it's going to happen, you imagine it happens with Connor McDavid because it's not happening with anyone else. I think either the high cap number we see from a McDavid could recalibrate it, or shorter term contracts for the star players could recalibrate it, because say he goes, I'll take 2 years at $15 million, and then you can keep progressively stepping up. That would be another thing, but we're not going to see it because it's such a we before I sport or whatever. And that's fine and well and good. Like, nobody's saying it shouldn't be, but you know, you want to see things sorted the right way because it would just have a good trickle down effect on the rest of the market.
That was we OUI in honor of Marty and his heritage, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay,
yes, because we're celebrating his birthday month. We have to.
I sense that the way you said it. Why
honestly,
am I,
like, I could. How is it supposed to be said? It's
we.
No, but like that saying, that phrase, like. Is
oh
it,
no! I think you nailed it. That's
oh
what,
okay.
Because
I'm like, I have an
laugh,
issue with
though,
that.
There's always a way to tie it back to Marty, and I think my okay. brain is wired that way. So now, why am I on McDavid Island here? I think he's going to take 20. I think he's going to change things. I really do. I think he's like, because everybody says, especially those in Edmonton, like, Connor's going to tell them what he's going to be making and for how long, and they're going to oblige. Like, I'm a believer of that. And I think McDavid, it would be ridiculous if he didn't push the envelope here.
I agree, in theory, in a perfect world, yes. But I feel like he's going to take a pay cut because he's going to be like, we need a goalie and we need X and Y. And this is how you're going to build the team around me. Like, if I'm Oilers management right now, and I'm saying this specifically because it is Dan Bowman and I do not trust his cap management, and I'm Connor McDavid, I look at this and I'm like, okay, I'm taking this on the idea that you're going to do X, Y, and Z if you want me to sign this contract, because he's saying he wants to see that there's the potential there. You have the Bouchard deal, and I think that four-year term is perfect for him. You have the Draisaitl deal, which already looks good. So now it's like, if you take up 20, then they're going to say, well, now we can't get a goalie. Or Darnell Nurse has to go. And I just feel like McDavid's not going to be that guy, even though he's earned the right to be, right? He is 100% earned the right to be, but he wants to win. And that team has contracts that are going to stop him from winning. So he has to take that middle ground. I feel like he's going to take 16. I'm going to say 16 is the number. So it's above everybody else, but without being in that, like, next stratosphere that, I mean, honestly, give the man $30 million. Give him maximum. Give him every single thing you can and more. Just give him part of the franchise.
Right. Yeah. I'm fascinated. I mean, what do you like? Because they're inseparable, especially in this market. What do you think Eichel gets?
That's going to be
he's in the same boat here.
Yeah, because he's, you know, we're working on our player tiers already for the Athletic, so we're putting these players into tiers and comparing them, and we have, like, this little bit of separation between them, but it's not much, right? It's, like, two or three players are what's separating them in terms of centers. I think the fact that Eichel is this all-around threat and kills penalties is going to really boost his value, because I think that's something that'll age well in his game, too, and he's even more clutch, but, and he has a cup, right? Like, that can't hurt either, but he, I think, takes more of, say, the hometown discount, because it's a little bit different. They didn't draft him. He's not the greatest player in the world. And everyone's going to twist that into, well, it's the salary. It's the tax advantage that Vegas has. And that's why he's taking less. Like, no, I think he just knows what it's like to be on a contender and would rather, like, roll over than go anywhere else. Right. Like, he's not going to want that, say, $18 million from the Ducks versus if you just accept maybe 14. I think 14 or 15 could be nice for him.
You think he gets there?
I mean, if a winger in this world, a Rantanen or Marner, gets 12, I imagine a center can juice it for like an extra million or two, even though Marner and Eichel are both those like Selke caliber guys. At the end of the day, Eichel's going to get the votes that Marner's never going to get because he plays center. And now that they're playing together, I would imagine Eichel's offense is taken to the next level at this point. I think his defense is going to be even better too. I'm going to say 14 though. I'm going to be realistic. I'm going to say 14, just knowing like the tax of playing in this world as a superstar.
It's fascinating. I don't think it gets enough attention. Like I'm really, really, really curious to see who signs first. And I, again, there's really no comparison contractually between McDavid and Eichel. We know Connor's going to be the highest, but these are massive deals between two players forever linked. Now, any updates or gut thoughts on Luke Hughes, Mason McTavish, Marco Rossi? I feel at least once a week we have to nominate this trio for more talk time.
Yeah, I think the McTavish contract is, I think Hughes is going to get signed first. And I think the McTavish one's going to follow. And then I think Rossi is the last one. I think that's going to be like kind of a holdout from both sides, but it'll be fine in the end. The Hughes one's a little bit interesting because you did hear like the Dougie Hamilton discussions for a minute, and it does make sense. Like, if you were to trade Dougie Hamilton, can you be the one to sign Luke Hughes for, say, $8.5 million? I could see him going in that $8 million range. I think that he can earn more than that, but I feel like being in that sweet spot makes sense. You look at his brother's contracts, and I think even with like the inflated cap now, it's at the end of the day, like, he's signing and he's not the number one. Yes, he's eventually going to become that, we would assume, in New Jersey, but he's not signing as that right now. If I'm him, I'm signing for 2 or 3 years and then I'm cashing in. I'm going like $8 million for 2 years and then trying to jump to the next sphere.
Does Rossi remain with the Wild?
Yes. If somebody wanted him, they would have traded for him, or at this point, I think. I know the Wild are a little bit harsh on him, and he's really an interesting player because he's not a true play driver as a center, and then you have the size element of it all. But I think he's a better player than we give him credit for away from Kaprizov, but he also happens to fit best there. If the Wild don't have him, what are they going to do, right? It's not like they acquired other centers or have a ton coming up the ranks that you're like, it's totally fine if you lose Rossi. Like, they're a worse team without him, and I think they should know it by now.
Get back to the beach, okay?
I'm going to.
Okay. See you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shana Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Safe.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends. And how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
First live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Feel like I failed you, folks. I've yet to secure an update from Marty on his golfing today at the Jim Kelly tournament. So I don't know. Maybe follow him on Instagram. I have no doubt that if he has a championship pick, he will share it there. Steve Tasker, of course, is out there with him at the Jim Kelly tournament. That means Maddie and Brownie are up next here on One Bills Live, reflecting upon this past weekend and what's to come in Bills preseason. But Sabres Bandits event-wise, like, do you ever just want to go to KeyBank Center and, like, get all of it? You can win a key to the arena, including Sabres and Bandits season ticket membership for the 25-26 season and a pair of tickets to five upcoming KeyBank Center live events. Goo Goo Dolls notwithstanding, you missed that if you didn't attend on Saturday night at KeyBank Center. It was sold out. Anyway, enter to win this one. It's a one-of-a-kind prize. Sabres.com/key. All right, we're about a month out from the FanFest and Prospects Challenge getting started, and obviously we hope maybe a big week news-wise ahead. You never know what's around the corner in this NHL offseason. Marty's back to join that discussion tomorrow. We'll see you then.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.